Now, on Wednesday night, Gene mentioned an opportunity that we might have in the near future to that they're hoping to expand our food pantry, and it sounded like a good idea to me. I don't know how far along in the thinking we are on this, but it sounded like a good idea. But then I got to thinking about it. I thought we would need a lot of food for something like this to work. And where is all this food going to come from? How could we possibly do this? Seems like a pretty big goal. How can we possibly have all this food? Hey.
I have two cans of tuna.
You have two cans of tuna? Well, that's a good start right there. And what's this? You have some crackers? We have five sleeves of crackers here. So we got five sleeves of crackers and two cans of tuna already. You know what? That kind of reminds me of a story from the Bible. There was a boy with five loaves and two fish that Andrew brought to Jesus. It was such a small offering, and yet Jesus was able to do so much with it. With just five loaves of bread and two fish, they were able to feed 5,000 plus people. And not only that, but they had 12 baskets full of leftovers. How amazing. I almost think that the more amazing part of that story is the leftovers. There were more leftovers than there were food to begin with. Philip wondered how they would be able to feed so many, but then it just took a small offering for God to do something big. God desires for us to bring our small offerings of service for Him to use in His kingdom to do great things. There's a song that's been on the Z lately called Dream Small. Now, the lyrics to that are in the bulletin. I'm not going to go ahead and rehash that. You can read that on your own. But I really like the idea that he has in this song of Dream Small. The artist points out that we should be careful not to miss out on all the small opportunities because we're too busy dreaming big about bigger opportunities that we can try and do in the future. Now, he says and makes it very clear in the song that there's nothing wrong with big dreams. And Glenn talked to us the other day about a big dream that he has to start a church planted in a county that needs more churches. And a lot of the big things he's expecting from that. And I think it's truly amazing, and it's a great work that we can be involved in. Also, from what he said, though, in his sermon on Sunday night, there are a lot of small things that they are doing right now. And indeed, there are a lot of small things that church plants do in the beginning phases and throughout the entire ministry that they have. Like, they talked about meeting together to study the Bible at a coffee shop. And people hearing them talking about the Bible and coming and asking for prayers or to join them and things like that happen. That's just a small thing, studying your Bible in a place together instead of doing it at home or at the church building. It's such a small thing, and yet big things come from it. Often it even takes us being faithful in the smaller opportunities that God puts in front of us in order for God to trust us with the bigger dreams, the bigger opportunities. So we need to be faithful with the small opportunities. So this morning, I encourage us to dream small, to look for the tiny ways we can contribute to God's kingdom so that we can work together towards bigger things that God may have in store down the road. One big reason that I encourage us to do this is because it becomes easy for us to do nothing if we feel like we can't do something big. So instead of just doing nothing because we feel like we can't do something big, I encourage everyone in here to find something you can do, no matter how small that thing is. Find several small things that you can do to advance the kingdom of God. In the scripture reading this morning, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that starts out small and then blossoms into a huge tree for the birds to rest in." The same can be true for the small works that we do to spread the love of Jesus and to encourage people to know Jesus. Sometimes even just planting that small seed of the Word of God or that small seed of the love of God shown through our actions can bloom years down the road. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. God wants people who are willing to do small tasks of planting and the small task of watering the seed of the Word of God and of God's love so that He can come along and make it grow into something major, so that He can transform it, that small action that we do, transform it into something big, just like He did with the bread and the fish. Don't feel like you are unable to do anything. All God asks for you to do is to plant and to water. He is the one that's going to come along and do something big. So through small, intentional actions, as you go about your life, you can help positive change happen for the kingdom of God. There's a man named Hunter Patch Adams. Now, the movie Patch Adams is based on an actual real doctor. I don't know how loosely some of that is based. I know at the very least that when he was contemplating suicide, he was actually a fairly young man at the time. It wasn't in his middle age as it was shown in the movie. But there was that one point where he contemplated suicide, and while in a mental hospital, he decided to become a doctor and to help people. Like I said, I don't know how much of this is true, but throughout the movie, Patch Adams does all kinds of things on his way to establishing his big dream. In one scene, he decides to do an experiment in which he says hello to people in different, somewhat kooky kind of ways to get something beyond the normal, everyday response that we all kind of do without even thinking about. You know, we say hi, somebody says hi back to you. We say, how are you? I'm fine, how are you? He wanted to get beyond that pat response. And one of the situations, he kind of hangs down from this pole and says, hello. And at first, this lady's like, afraid, you know, because he just popped down there, and she's like, hi. And she starts to walk on, and his friend says, you know, he and his friend talk about it for a second, and he's like, I reached her. He's like, you scared her. He's like, no, wait for it. And about 10 seconds later, she turns around, and she laughs at him and says, you're nuts. And then he talks about how he made 12 random phone calls. And that he talked for 3 hours with a man named Dale who told him amazing things. He was trying to teach his friend how we need to learn to treat the patient as well as the disease. And to do that, they must get to know people. Later, he visits the hospital and cheers people up with laughter. Even though this was seen as inappropriate from his doctor professors, because they saw the doctor's role as being stood apart from the patient. To not get too close to the patient, to be above the patient, and to have this kind of professional persona that certainly is ruined by laughing with them and joking around and being a clown. And certainly is also ruined by getting too close and getting to know them too personally. That was their opinion. That was the opposite of what Patch saw as the role of the doctor here. Now, Patch's big dream was to establish a free clinic to treat people. And you go on to start the Gesundheit Institute. Along his way to his big dream, though, he did not ignore all the little opportunities that came along to serve others and help others laugh and to be a part of big things in little ways for all these different patients. He could have easily said, well, I'm so focused on my big dream here to start this Gesundheit Institute, to have this place that's free for people to come and to treat them more than just their disease, but the person as well, and forget all along the way to do all these little things for all the patients here and there spread out as he was getting his degree and all the things along the way. But he didn't. He focused on the little things that were in front of him, the little ways he could make people's lives better, the little ways he could treat people and beyond just their disease, but treat them in a way to help them have more joy in life and to have more hope in life. God has created us for good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has good works that He intends for us to do. And many of those good works are tiny things. But how many of those opportunities do we let just pass us by from day to day because we're waiting for something bigger, or we're looking for something bigger that we can do? Or we lament that we are not able to do something major and big, and so we're sad and we say, we can't do anything big, so I'm just going to not do much at all. Sometimes we become like Naaman, who went to Elisha to be healed of leprosy. And he was expecting Elisha to tell him some big, huge thing that he could do, or for Elisha to kind of wave his hand and be your healed, or he wanted something major to happen. And Elisha says, go dip yourself in the Jordan. He gets angry at Elisha. He was looking for something big, and he says, you want me to go dip in this dirty Jordan River? Aren't there better rivers I could have dipped myself in my hometown, in my home country? You want me to do this? He storms off in rage. Then one of his servants says to him, had the prophet told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? I mean, if he had told you to go on this big mission, if he had told you to climb this mountain, if he had said something big that you need to go and do, wouldn't you have done it? And he realizes the wisdom in that, and he goes and does what the prophet Elisha told him to do, and he dips himself in the dirty Jordan River, the small river that to him was insignificant. Sometimes we are waiting for great things, or we're sad that we cannot do something big, that we miss the very opportunity that God puts right in front of us to do something small that will blossom into something big. We underestimate the power those small actions can have. I found this quote last week by Leo Buscaglia. It says, too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. Even something as small as a smile can make a huge difference in somebody's day. A compliment. All these little things that we might overlook and see is not that big of a deal. We don't know the power that can lie in those things. In Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, these passages remind us that we are not alone when it comes to doing good for the kingdom. We are all part of the body of Christ. Romans 12:3 warns us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. In the context there, he's basically saying we don't have to do it all. We might get this impression that I have to do something major. I have to do all this work, all these different things. Something maybe that I'm not qualified to do or not talented to do. He says, don't think more highly of yourself. Don't think you have to do this big thing. You are a part of a body made up of many parts, all with different gifts, all with different abilities, all with different opportunities, all from God. Do your part in the body. Find what you can do. It points out that we all have these different gifts we're supposed to use for the glory of God to build up His church, to build up His body. We are not expected to do it all, but rather to use what God has given us and to use those opportunities He puts in our lives. 1 Corinthians 12 lets us know that no part of the body is more important than another part, even if some get more attention. If we were all the same, then the body would lack the diversity it needs to function properly and do all the things that needs to be done for the kingdom. If we were all mouthpieces, where would be the one to listen? Where would be the one to serve like hands and feet? Where would be the one to be the mind, to have the vision to go forward? Where would be the heart to have the emotion to push it along, the compassion to push it along? We're all parts of the body. We all have the things that we excel at. We all have the different things that God has gifted us with. We're supposed to work together. We're not all supposed to be mouthpieces. We're not all supposed to be ears. We're not all supposed to be eyes or minds or hearts. We're all together as various types of parts of the body to do all the different things that God wants. What part of the body are you? What has God given you the gift to do? Where has God placed you where you can work and do some part of His mission? Maybe your part is to lead somebody to come to church where somebody else will teach them about Jesus. Maybe your part is to listen to somebody and see where they are at in their spiritual life or in life in general and be there to encourage them. Maybe you're there to share your personal faith story. Where are you? What opportunities has God given you? What abilities has God given you? How can you use that? You and however you can contribute is just as important to God's kingdom as any other part of the body. So you need to use what God has given you. I want to talk a little bit about serving in His kingdom in small ways. And I'm going to give you just basically a list of things I kind of crowdsourced for this part of the lesson this morning. And I asked some people who are ministers or close to ministers, what are some small ways we can serve God's kingdom? One person said, find a way to make sure each random person you pass by has a better day because of your presence in reflecting Jesus. The cashiers, the waitresses, someone out for a walk, the person behind you in the drive-thru, etc. How can we brighten people's day as we pass by them? The last one made me think of a time when I was coming out of Mount Dora Christian Academy. I just dropped the kids off for school in the morning. And I was I was behind somebody in the road behind the cemetery where you have to wait there for like 5 minutes to get out on the mornings. And I noticed that their fuel cap was open, not the cap, but the thing that opens and closes there. I noticed that was open. And we're pretty much at a standstill for a moment. So I get out of my car and I go to her and I knocked on the window first because I don't want to see her to see me in her mirror messing with her car or something and not know what's going on. So I get out and I say, excuse, you know, I knock on the window and say, excuse me, your gas cap's open. I'm just going to go ahead and close it for you. She says, thank you. And I get back in my car and soon we're moving on. And I decided, and I was on my way to McDonald's to pick up some breakfast that morning. And so I'm in the drive-thru at McDonald's. I order my breakfast, and she's still in front of me because she had the same idea, I guess. And when I get to the cashier's window to pay for my food, she says, the lady in front of you took care of that. She's, you know, I guess she knew you or something. I was like, oh, well, I explained the story of what happened to the cashier real quick. And you know what? That wasn't a big thing for her to do. I didn't expect her to do that. It wasn't a big thing for me to do, to go ahead and close the lady's gas cap. But it was a small thing that kind of brightened my day that morning. What kind of little things can we do to brighten people's days? You can send a card or a note with a personalized message. Read your Bible in a public place. Maybe somebody will come and ask you about what you're reading. If you're a younger person, sit down and talk to an older person after church service. Be interested in what they have to say and be interested in their perspective. If you're an older person, sit down and talk with a younger person after church service. Again, be interested in what they have to say and in their perspective. Offer to serve someone in a specific way. Maybe it's a young mother, you offer to watch her child for her so she can go out for a little bit. Or maybe you offer to help clean up for her around her house because she probably has a lot on her plate, a lot to focus on, might need a little help. Maybe you take somebody a meal or invite someone out for a meal with you or over to your house for a meal. Listening to someone. And oftentimes listening to someone doesn't mean we have to have some big advice for them. Doesn't mean that we have to have this big encouraging word for them. Sometimes it's just helpful to listen. To let somebody know that you're there and that you care. To give them a chance to vent about what's going on in their lives. To ask for prayers. Whatever they need at the time. Be encouraging to people. Making eye contact and giving a smile. One person even told me about an app called Be My Eyes. I'd never heard of this before. But apparently there's an app where as seeing people, we can sign up for this app and we check that we are seeing. And blind people sign up and get this app and they check that they are blind. And you can be their eyes. That you'll get a notification that somebody needs your help. You can either, if you're busy at the time, you can just kind of disregard it and somebody else will pick up. Or if you're not busy, you can click on it, and then you can be somebody's eyes. Maybe they need some help finding something that they can't see. Maybe they need help getting somewhere. Maybe they need help knowing what's in some. I don't even know all the things they use this for, but it's kind of a neat opportunity that I'd never even heard of. You could be somebody's eyes for them and help them to see something, not literally, but you can tell them what it is. I thought that was a pretty interesting idea. You can be friendly and chat with strangers when you're in line or someplace where you're going to be there for a little while, close to each other for a time. You know, in Florida, we oftentimes, we go to amusement parks, right? How many hours do we spend in lines at amusement parks? Sometimes hours in line just for one ride. We can chat with the people in front of us and behind us, and maybe it will lead to a conversation about Jesus. Maybe it'll just be a good, friendly conversation. But opportunities are missed sometimes because we're just focused on our own thing, maybe focused on our phones instead of the people around us. Take time to stop and talk to people. And also, I want to throw this out there, don't force a conversation about Jesus, because sometimes that just comes off the wrong way. Sometimes that does less effectiveness than it needs to be. So oftentimes, the conversation will just naturally lead itself there if we allow it. And if it doesn't, then so be it. Maybe there'll be another opportunity. I want to share a story that somebody, when I asked about this, shared. He said, I went out for Sunday lunch with a preacher and his family. And he said to the waitress, we're getting ready to say a prayer and thank God for our food. Is there anything you'd like for us to pray for you? She started crying and said, yes, but I don't want to say because I'll cry. He said, that's okay, we'll pray for it anyway. He tipped her well and gave her his phone number. That's an amazing story to me. It's something I've never really thought to do, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say that. We go out to eat, and we pray for our food beforehand, and we have the waitress right there. Say, we're about to pray. Can we pray for you? They might say no. They might say, I'd appreciate a prayer and not say anything specific. They might have something they're dealing with that they specifically say, I need your prayers for this. I'm glad you asked. But at any rate, it doesn't hurt any just to ask. And it could do many great things. It could be a lead-in to inviting somebody to church, to them coming and knowing Jesus. At the very least, we can be involved in somebody's life and help them with something through praying for them. And I like what he said at the end there. He tipped her well and gave her his phone number. You know, sometimes we get the bad reputation as Christians of not being so generous to waitstaff, and that's bad, especially when they know that we're Christians and that we're not being very generous, when people who are not Christians are generous. It gives a bad kind of impression, but he tipped her well. And then he gave her his phone number so that if there's some follow-up she wanted to do or she wanted to ask later on for a prayer and be more specific about it or whatever the situation was, or maybe she might decide, maybe I want to check out his church. That opportunity was there. I make up business cards sometimes that have on the front the church phone number, my email address. On the back it has our service times. And it doesn't stop anybody in the church from doing something like that. You don't necessarily have to have, you don't have to be a minister here to have a business card with some information on it about the church, and that'd be a great thing to be able to have in your purse or your wallet to hand out at a time. Maybe a time when you don't have the chance to write something down or give somebody something else. Like, here, just take this. It's got our church information on it. We'd be happy for you to come worship with us. Our preacher or youth minister would be happy to talk to you if you called them about something. And just have that ready for when the chance comes up. The point of all this is to serve others, because that is what Jesus wants us to do. And that's what Jesus himself did when he was on this earth. He served others in small to big ways. Show his love to the world. And not just because we want to convert them. I mean, yes, to a certain degree, that's our end game. We want people to know Jesus. We want people to go to heaven with us. But at the same time, our service shouldn't just be about getting people to heaven. Yes, that's the ultimate goal. That's what we want the most, because no matter how much we help them on this earth, it does them no good if they don't come to know Jesus and go to heaven. But to serve others just for the sake of, that's what Jesus would do. And that gives the church a great reputation, gives Christians a great reputation. And it might lead to those opportunities for them to learn about God and want to know more about his people. I don't know for how long the church here has been doing this, but we've done the back-to-school bash for years from before I got here. The last couple years, we've kind of taken a break from it. And one of the negatives I've heard people say is it never led to anybody actually coming to church. You know, we help people, and then they just go about on their way. But to me, I'm thinking, so? Maybe it will somewhere down the line. Maybe it's planting a seed in somebody's mind. Maybe it's planting something that years down the road they'll remember. And you know what, something else about this is sometimes when I talk to people and I'll invite them to church here and tell them where we are, they'll go, oh, you're the ones that do the back-to-school bash. We build up a reputation of the back-to-school bash. The people know us for that. The community actually knows us for something, or at least part of the community. And that, to me, it makes it a worthwhile work. I don't know if we've led anybody to come visit our church from the giveaway day that we do, that we started a couple years ago. But even if nobody has specifically come because of that work, it's planting the seeds. It's letting people know that we care. It's letting our community know that we're not just here for ourselves. It's letting the community know we exist. And for that, it's a good work in and of itself, that we are caring and sharing with people. The growth will come. The results will come, that people will be led to Jesus if we're out doing all kinds of good things. We could have a barbecue in one of the parks, invite people right there, just be like, hey, come have a burger with us. Come have some hot dogs with us. Get to know people. There's all kinds of things we can do, little things that can make a big difference. Show people that we care, that we love. I want to leave you with one last scripture, Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God can and will do amazing things that we cannot even begin to ask him in prayer, that we cannot even begin to imagine that he would do. And according to this verse, he will do these things through his power in us. You know, for many times I read this verse and didn't quite catch that last part. But this isn't God working through his power out there in some major way. It's him working through us, through you and through me. Don't assume that God can't use you to do something big and amazing for his kingdom. And it may well begin through things that seem pretty small and insignificant to us. But as someone pointed out when I asked for examples of small ways we can serve his kingdom, and at first I kind of dismissed this as, yeah, I know it's true, but it doesn't really help me in my sermon. They pointed out, there are no small ways. There are no small ways we can serve his kingdom. Every way is significant and can be used by God to do something big and amazing that goes beyond what we may ask, beyond what we may even imagine. So there really are no small ways, because God can use even the smallest thing we do to be big. So I encourage you to get out there and serve through any of the smallest way you can even think, all the way up to the biggest ways you can think. Yes, you can dream big, but also dream small and look for those tiny opportunities that often pass us by. And don't be discouraged because you can't do something big or feel like you can't do something big, because maybe it's some small thing that's going to be huge. So I want to encourage you to do that. Right now, if there's anybody here today who needs to become a Christian, we give you this opportunity today to come. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you repent of your sins and are ready to confess his name as Lord and Savior, you can be immersed into water this day for the forgiveness of your sins. If there's anybody here today who is a Christian but you need our prayers for something, we'd be happy to pray for you. Whatever your need is, please come as we stand and sing this song.